We're holding on some test on the days by the Mishnah. Now that we learned in the previous Mishnah the case where a mother animal is in hard labor and the baby sticks out its leg, now let's talk about another relevant question as far as a mother animal that's giving birth, namely as far as the matter of Bechor. So we're going to learn all about Bechor of animals in the next Masechta, and Bechor is Bez Hashem, but now here's something relevant about it here in full. You have an animal that is giving birth to its first baby, and if that baby is a male, then it's going to have the kedusha of a bechor. With a kosher animal, the din is, in the times of the Beis Mikdash, that animal, provided it doesn't have a mum, would be brought as a korban, and if it has a mum, then you would, if it has a mum, then you would give it to the korban, and then the korban would shecht it and eat it. Nowadays, we have no Beis Mikdash, we have to wait until it develops a mum, and then the korban can shecht it and eat it. Or, as we're going to discuss, what you can do with that, we'll learn more about it in the Torah, says Hashem, but another possibility is, and you can sell a share in the mother or in the baby to a goy ahead of time, and then it's potter from men, that's potter from bechorah. So the Mishnah says, Hamavakeres, an animal that's given birth for the first time, Hamakasha Leilat, and she's in hard labor. So the baby is coming out with great difficulty, and the pashtos, you're afraid that the mother herself is going to die in labor. Machatech Aver, so you can cut off each limb as it comes out of the womb, and throw them to the dogs. Because until the baby is considered born, then it's not Kaddish. A Bechor becomes Kaddish only when it's actually born. So since, as we learned before, birth is either when the majority of the baby comes out or when the head comes out, here you're talking about a difficult birth, but actually it's a breech birth. So therefore, so you're not talking about the head coming out first, you're talking about the body coming out first, and therefore, as each part comes out, you cut it off and throw it, and then you allow, it won't be kosher to meat, of course, so you'll throw it to the dogs. Yotzer Ruboy, once most of it comes out, though, when most of it comes out, how does he recover? Then it has to be buried, because once most of it comes out, then it has the kedusha of a bechor. Now, when you say Yotzer Ruboy, it actually explains, doesn't mean that you had one piece and then another piece and then so forth, and eventually it amounted to Roy, but rather what we mean is if Roy comes out at once, what happens if different parts come out and eventually it amounts to Roy, that we'll deal with in the Gemara. So how does he cover? So it has to be buried. It's also Bahana, because now it has the Kedusha of a Bechor. V'nifteres mina Bechora, now the mother is potter from Bechora in the sense that the next baby that she has, hopefully it's born normally, is not going to have the Kedusha of a Bechor. Now Rashi explains that v'nifteres mina Bechora goes on both cases, both when you cut off one limb at a time and threw it to the dogs, or when most of it came out at once. Either way, it's considered a birth, even though in the first case, each piece didn't yet have the kedusha of a bechor, but eventually it amounts to that most of the baby was born, or all of it eventually, and therefore it would be potter from bechor. On the other hand, the Rambam understands it to be saying that no, when machatach ever, then no, she's not potter from bechor. The next baby that she has, if it's male, is going to have the din of a bechor of a bechor. So there's a lot of discussion among achronim about different possibilities of ins and outs of what the nub of the machlokas is between Rashi and the Rambam, and are there any cases where they would agree with one another, or are they just arguing about the meaning of the Mishnah, but they agree on the actual dinim? So there's a detail. There's a lot of lumdus about that. So the Gemara says, now we have a discussion of Amoroyim related to the skin. Yotzeshlish, what happens if during the birth the baby one third of the baby comes out? Now one third is not a majority yet. At that point, you sold it to a goy. Now, like we said before, if you sell it to a goy, then it's potter from bechor. It's actually machlokas at the beginning of Masechta Bechoros, but we'll learn that in a few months. But the halacha is in fact you have the Alter Rebbe in the Siddur after he deals with the halachas of Mechilas Chometz, where we do the same kind of thing. We sell our chometz to a goy ahead of Pesach, and that way we're not over on Bal Yiro or Bal Yimotze, and that way we can buy it back to him after Pesach. There's a similar kind of thing. The Alter Rebbe then goes on to discuss Seidim Cheres Behemar Mevakeres in the same vein. If you have a mother animal that's about to give birth and you have Torah, and you don't want. So it's going to be a problem if the baby is born as a Bechor. Again, nowadays there being no Beis Hamikdash, you can't do anything with that baby until it develops a Mum, and that could take years. So instead, you're going to want to sell a state or in the mother or all of the mother to a goy ahead of time in order to make it potter from Bechor. And the Alter Rebbe deals with the details of how exactly you do that. In some ways, it's similar to Mechiras Chametz. Anyway. So you, Yotze Shlish, one third of the baby came out. Well, not for the problem. At that point, you sold that. At that point, you sold that part to a goy. The baby is still intact, in other words. Because of the Yotze Shlish Acher, then another third comes out. So now, at this point, most of it is out, and that's the point when it becomes Kaddish with Bechora. So what happens? Rav Huna Amar Kaddish, Rabba Amar Ena Kaddish. Rav Huna says this baby is still going to have the Kedusha of Bechora. Meaning all the rules that we said before about a Bechor in the times of the Beis Hamikdash and not in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. And we're going to ignore the fact that we sold it to the Goy, as we'll explain in a second. Rabba Amar Ena Kaddish, whereas Rabba says it is not left in the Shabbat. Rav Huna Amar Kaddish, Kasav Amar Chreya Kaddish. Because Rav Huna holds that it turns out retroactively that it was Kaddish. Namely, again, it gets the Kedusha of Bechor only when it's born. Born is defined as when it's a breech birth that at least 51% of the body, at least 50% plus of the baby came out. So at this point, two-thirds is already considered born. So one-third, when you're at the point when you sold it to the Goya, it didn't yet have Kedusha. But nevertheless, retroactively, it turns out that it did have Kedusha, because eventually it was born. Eventually, enough of it came out to actually have the Kedusha of a Bechor. So therefore, given the nafak label, so once most of it has come out, it glides and also not fair to me if they have a kaddish, and it turns out retroactively that all along it was on the way to being kaddish. Well, my bizabin, like Kung Zabin, and the fact that you sold the stake of it to a guy is meaningless, and we ignore that. You didn't have a favor to them. In other words, had you done that before the baby started being born, then fine. But now that you did it, during the birth process, and that birth process eventually culminates in enough of it coming out, then Rav Huna is going to say that the fact that you sold it in the middle to a goy is not going to be significant. There's a considerable amount of almost everything that we're saying over here in these next few lines of Gemara is subject to a lot of different machloikas in. Among Achronim about various details about it among Rishonim and Achronim. First of all, again, Rashi says, and Tosfos also, that it means partial the sale is bought. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish gives it an explanation that it's not that it really becomes Kaddish, but in other words, at that point it's too late. Once it started coming out, it's too late to sell it to a goy. And then again, there's a lot of lumdus about it among Achronim, about the Rambam's opinion that says he paskins like the Mafreho Kaddish, like Rav Huna. On the other hand, we said before that if it comes out piece by piece, then it's not considered born. So there's quite a bit of discussion how to reconcile all of that. Anyway, Rav Huna says then that the fact that you sold it to the Goy doesn't mean anything, and therefore the baby still has the Kedusha of a Bechor. So Rabba Omer Ena Kaddish, whereas Rabba holds that it's not Kaddish Pasavim, it can't allow about Kaddish. He holds that it becomes Kaddish only from now on. Once 50% plus of it is born, then it becomes Kaddish. But at the point when you sold it to the Goy, it was only 33% born. So my Zabin Shafer Zabin. So when you sold it to the Goy, you had every right to, and therefore that sale has an effect. And now therefore it makes it that now the baby does not have the Kaddish of a Bechor. And the Gemara points out the Ozu Taimai. Now Rav Huna and Rabba are going according to their respective opinions in another similar case, as where we're going to see the details, their opinions in that case bear on this case as well. Namely, we have a discussion as follows. Yotze Shlish Derech Doifen. What happens if one third of the baby came out through the side of the mother? Meaning, in other words, that they started cutting through to make a C-section because the baby wasn't being born the normal way. So one third of the baby came out that way. And then the other two thirds came out normally through the womb. So in other words, eventually the womb actually opened up. Eventually the birth canal opened up, and the baby and the rest of the baby was able to come out that way. The note of Yehuda in his Kedushin called Slach asks, practically speaking, how is that going to be possible? It's all attached together. So he says that evidently maybe we're talking about that you cut it, that one third came out derech doifen, and then you cut it out, and now the rest of the baby that's still inside was able to come out derech doifen. Anyway, now the question is again, does this baby have the kedusha of a bechor? Now, for the baby animals have kedusha of a bechor, and for that matter, the human beings as well, it has to have been born normally, not by C-section. In this case, again, one third came out derech doifen by C-section, and two thirds normally. So again, Rav Huna is going to say it does not have kedusha, and here it's going to be the other way around, the opposite of their opinions before, because of course it's different, completely different circumstances. But Rav Huna is going to say it's not kedusha in the first case. It was born normally, vaginally, but it was partially sold to the goy in between. Here it's the other way around, that the first part of it was that the first part of it came out by C-section. So Rav Huna says ain't it kedusha, that it's not kedusha. Because, and again, we're going to relate it to the previous machlokes. Rabba Oma Kodesh, and Rabba says it will be Kodesh, the Kedusha of a Bechor. Rav Huna Oma Ene Kodesh, why Rav Huna L'Taymeh? Again, Rav Huna is following his Svara, Dom Lama Freya Kodesh. We just said in the case of the selling to a Goy that it doesn't help, because retroactively it turns out to be Kodesh. Well then, the Ruba Kama Lesser Verechen. Well, it turns out then that the original Goy that came out, the original Roy that came out was through the side, and therefore, so in other words, it has to be that already the beginning of the birth should already be a valid kind of birth that would make it chayav in the kedusha of a bechor. So now the first part, the first third, came out in a way that would make it potter, and the fact that the other two thirds come out derech rechem in the normal way doesn't help according to Rav Huna. It never had a chance to get that kedusha. The Rabba Omer Kodesh, whereas Rabba is going to say it is holy with the kedusha of a bechor. Rabba the Taimei, again, Rabba is going to say shita. Domini Kanal Abba Kodesh, he says it's Kodesh from now on. The Ruba derech rechem nothing. The fact is, most of it did come out through the rechem in the normal way, and therefore there's no reason that it should have the kedusha of a bechor. So we see, in other words, they have two machlokes in that both turn on the same point of the mafreya hu kodesh and the kanala bo hu kodesh. And the Gemara points out it's srifa. We need both of those cases. We can't just have that the machlokes would be presented in one case and we could derive the other from it. The yashmin and baha, if we only had the first case about the case where you sold the one third to a goy, you would say baha kama Rav Huna. You know why? Rav Huna says over there that we're going to ignore that and say that nevertheless the baby was a bechor, vishum de la kula, because otherwise we would be doing a kula, which is maybe inappropriate. Maybe that kula shouldn't apply, and you should say la chumra, we should say mafreya hu kodesh retroactively it's kodesh. Abba b'chach to the chumra, here on the contrary, if we hear here in the second machlokas, the chumra comes out of the same time la abba hu kodesh. If we say the mafreya hu kodesh, then if we say then that creates the chumra. Maybe in that case he would agree with Rabba and say that we should apply the chumra then and say mikano labo kodesh and say that it's going to have the kedusha of a bechor. In other words, maybe if we had only had it in the one case involving the goy, you would say Rav Huna always holds that we always have to consider that the baby has kedusha of a bechor. Whether that requires in an individual case to say the mafreya hu kodesh or mikano labo kodesh, either way we're always going with chumra. So therefore we need the second machlokas to say that no, Rav Huna is going to hold by his opinion even if it results in a kula, and vice versa. And if we had only the second case, the case of the one third by the one third through the body wall, baha kama rabba, then we would say again only in that case, because again then that results in a chumra, ava baha, but in the first case of selling to a goy, where the kanalaba results in a fula that it does not have the kedusha of a bechor, ema module l'rabona, maybe he would agree with Rabona. Sifa, and therefore we need both machlokas in to make it clear that both of them hold. Rav Huna holds across the board the mafreya hu kodesh, whether that results in a kula or a chumra. Rabba holds across the board mitano lavo kodesh, whether that results in a kula or a chumra. Okay. Now that we understand their machlokas, let's relate it to our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah. So we said you have a mother animal that's giving birth for the first time and is in hard labor. Machatif eivet labor, and you can cut off a limb at a time, a limb at a time from the baby as it comes out of the womb. and you can and throw it to the dogs. Now, my lab machatech maniach. Now, on the face of it, machatech would suggest, in other words, that you cut off each piece and you didn't yet throw it to the dogs. You're putting one piece, another piece. Eventually, you have a pile of pieces over there, which amounts to the roiv of the animal. And nevertheless, the Mishnah would seem to be saying that that at that point you can take all of that meat and give it to the dogs. So if you say mikanalah habor kodesh, then fine. Until roiv came out, then no kedusha came on it yet. But if you say the mafreyahu kodesh, if we have everything in front of us over here, then it should be the equivalent of Rav Huna's earlier cases, and we should say the mafreyahu kodesh. So v'yamat the mafreyahu kodesh. If you say that it's kodesh retroactively, and we have all the pieces in front of us, then why should you be allowed to feed it to the dogs? It should be like what the Mishnah said: when most of it comes out, you cover me, boiler. It should be saying that you have to deal with it. Now, Tosfos brings up the point, actually, that you don't have a better question. I mean, if Mafreya or Kaddish, how are you allowed to make a mum in it in the first place? You're not allowed to make a mum in a Bechor. We're going to learn about that in the Sefer Bechoris. Tosfos gives, first of all, Tosfos says you could be talking about that the baby ended up being born stillborn, so it didn't have, the issue of making a mum Bechorishim applies when it could have been conceivably brought as a korban. So that applies, of course, in the times of the Beis Mikdash, but even now, because after all, you born out of Mikdash, the Beis Mikdash is going to be rebuilt, and any animal that's a tumim at that time can, any Bechor that's a tumim at that time can indeed be brought as a korban. But, Whether the issue of Atolas Mum actually applies nowadays when there's no Beis Mikdash, we'll learn about that in the Sefer Bechoros. But even if we say that it does, be that as it may, we can be talking about where the animal was stillborn, or Tosfos points out that it doesn't mean that it actually came out and then you cut it off. We could be talking about that you cut it off, that you reach into the womb and cut it. Another point that you could say that even Rav Huna would allow you, even though he says Mafreya Hu Kaddish, but nevertheless, even Rav Huna might agree that if you cut off pieces one at a time, it's not considered Mumba Kaddishim, because the fact is the Kedusha has not been called yet. Later on, when most of it comes out, and then you're going to say that now retroactively it has Kedusha, and therefore you have to give it. Be that as it may, the point is, the Mishnah is not saying you need to bury it. The Mishnah is saying you can give it to the dogs, and the Pashtus, that would mean, again, even you have a pile of pieces, which amounts to roiv of the baby, and nevertheless, you're still allowed to feed it to the dogs. How would Rav Huna explain that? And the answer is, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. Because the Mishnah is talking about each piece as it came out, or as you reach into the womb, as the case may be, then you threw it to the dogs. So now, there never comes a point when the roiv of the baby comes out, at that point, you don't have a roiv of it sitting over there for Kedusha to be tall on it. And when you were first throwing it to the dog, no problem. It was still full at that time. Even Rav Huna agrees it didn't have the Kedusha of a Bechor until most of it came out. He just says that retroactively it's tall. As opposed to, Rashi points out, in the two cases where we had the Machlokas, Rav Huna and Rabba, where we sold it to a goy in the middle of the booth, or in that particular case, where the food came out and then he sold it to a goy, the fact is it comes out intact and it's all in front of us, then you can say the mafreya hocham. But in our case over here, our Mishnah is not necessarily talking about we're making a pile of all the pieces. It's talking about that as each piece comes out and you cut it off, you throw it to the dogs. So even Rav Huna would agree that there's no the mafreya to be chala. So the Gemara says, what? Avol machatech maniach mai. So what are you going to tell him? And if he does cut off pieces one at a time and puts them in front of him, and then what would be the din? Are you telling me that then it would have to be buried, which Rav Huna would require us to say? Then the question is, abitana sefer, then in that case, why does the sefer of our Mishnah, the only distinction that our Tana draws is yotzer rubois, when roiv comes of it, vasachas, and the word Yotze Rubo suggests that most of it came out, the Vasachas, then you say, you cover, then it has to be buried, the Nifter of Nabachorah, and now at that point, the mother animal is potter from Bechorah, in that case, and in the previous case, according to Rashi, only in the second case, according to Rambam. Anyway, the point is, the cover, and therefore it has to be, so Yotze Rubo, you cover, the Nifter of Nabachorah has to be buried, and she's potter from Bechorah. Now, in other words, what is the distinction the Mishnah is making? Only between whether it came out bit by bit, or whether most came out all at once. up on Tzedakona, the Mishnah could have made a further distinction, literally the listening that he did. Instead of talking about the case of Yotze Luloy, as though that's the only case where you cover, according to Rav Huna, the Mishnah should have drawn a distinction even between the pieces coming out individually. When would we say that you can feed it to the dogs, only when you're throwing it one at a time to the dogs, so there's never a time when you have roiv of you in front of, it in front of you, but if you were to put the pieces down, you cover, then you would have to bury them, because according to Rav Huna, that's how it is. And then, of course, then we would understand all the more so if roiv of it comes out at once. So the fact that the Mishnah does not make that distinction seems to go against Rav Huna. And the answer is talking on the Talmud. That's actually what the Mishnah means. That, in fact, in both cases, whether as long as you have a majority, whether the majority is formed of pieces that were cut off one at a time and put in a file, or whether the majority is formed by it coming out all at once, that is what the Sefer means, in effect. When would we say that you can feed it to the dogs when you're feeding each individual piece to the dogs as it comes out? Even Rav Huna, as we said, is going to be fine with that, because the fact is Ruiz has not come out yet, and the moment when it has Kedushas Bechor has not arrived. But if you were to cut off pieces, and then put it in front of you, Nasa to Mishi Yotze Luloy, then in effect, it's the equivalent of it coming out all at once, the cover, and then it has to be bit. So in other words, when the Mishnah says Yotze Luloy, it means there's two possibilities. It can mean Yotze Luloy Vivasahas, as we've been saying all this time, but Yotze Luloy can also mean when most of it has come out, namely piece by piece, and at this point we have Roiv of it in front of us. So the point is that the Mishnah can easily be explained according to Rav Huna. And in fact, the Poskim Paskin in this regard like Rav Huna. There's a general rule that up to the time of Abaye and Rava, we usually, when we have a Machlokes between an earlier generation of Amoraim and a later one, we usually Paskin like the earlier ones. So therefore, Rav Huna is a generation before Rava. He was one of his Rebbeim. So therefore that would be a reason to Paskin like Rav Huna. So now, Boy Rava. So now Rava asks a question in this connection as far as limbs of the baby coming out piece by piece. Do we follow, when it comes to limbs, do we follow the roiv or do we not? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, taking dummy. What exactly is the scenario Rava is talking about? Even do we mean that most of the baby has come out, but part of that most is made up of the smaller part of one aver? So let's say, in other words, you have the legs have come out, the backside has come out, etc., and eventually you have the point. Eventually you have the point, let's say, where 49% of it is out. Now 49% is not yet a majority, so you haven't yet reached your end. Now you have, let's say, for example, the foreleg starts coming out. But only a small part of it, only less than half its length, let's say. But now, by adding that in, you have 51% of the animal. So are you going to say that Rava's question is, in that case, would we say that that amounts to 51%? So from the Boyalei, so Rava's question would be, high near divroi, this lesser amount of the foreleg that's coming out, both of roi the eva shidrinim lei, do we make it follow the majority of the eva that it came from? And therefore we would ignore it. So it comes out, in other words, we would ignore that 2% that it added to the thing. We still only have 49%. And therefore you can still, at that point, you can start cutting off parts and throwing them to the dogs. Would you say that maybe we go according to the majority of the baby, and therefore then at this point you have 51%. Now, is that Rava's question? Obviously, we're not going to ignore most of the baby and follow most of the aver. There's no reason we should even think that such a thing is possible. Obviously, the fact that it's part of the majority of the 51% of the baby overrides the fact that it's a minority of the aver. Now, we did have before, on some Tessama days, the beginning of our parak, we had the machloikas according to Bnei Ma'arava, according to the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, we had the machloikas yesh leidu la'ivorim or in leidu la'ivorim. Can it be considered that individual limbs are born or not, which we talk about the relevance of that would be, in other words, if a limb partially comes out, is it considered that it's born and can't be, and even if it's retracted into the womb, it's still also as Vasi Vasada Tereza, etc., as we learned over there. Now, so the Bala Mur, in fact, learns that that in fact, Rava's question, even if we assume that that was Rava's question, it would be only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan over there, Ein Leidu La'ivarim. If you say, Yesh Leidu La'ivarim, no question, that once, actually, that'll be in the next part of how we assume Rava's question. So let's learn what the Gemara says, what Rava's real question is, and then we can discuss how that relates to Yesh Leidu La'ivarim. So Ella, rather, the question would be the other way around. Let's say exactly half of the baby has come out, but that half is made up by the roiv of one eighth. So a similar scenario, but let's say, in other words, we have 48% of the baby has come out so far. Now you have another aver starts coming out, making up another 2% and bringing up to 50%, but that 2% consists of the majority of one particular aver. So now the question is, so now you have a minority of that aver still inside, and if it were to come out, then it would put it over the 50% line. So now, do we say that little part that's still inside, Ma'ul Mishti, Ebosser, Roiv Aver? Do we make it follow the most of the Aver that's already outside, and therefore that brings us above the 50% mark, and therefore the whole thing now has to go over before, or would we say that not, the fact is right now only 50% is out, and you need 50% plus in order for it to have go over the before? In fact, actually, the Rashba points out this question would not only be just as far as the Bechor. The question would be as far as this whole matter of Ben Fekua, being able to eat the unborn baby that's in the mother's womb, at what point would we consider that's born? In any case, is Rava's question, now that we clarified Rava's question, according to the Bala Mur, it's only within Rabbi Yechanan's opinion that Ein Leidu La'ivarim, that individual limbs are not considered born. We talk about born as far as the animal as a whole. According to Rav, who said that Yesh Leidu La'ivarim, then the Bala Mur says there'd be no question. On the other hand, that Ramban explained that the question could be even according to Rabbi Yechanan, Yesh Leidu La'ivarim, because the fact is, here you only have a minority of an aver came out, so you can't really say there's no later yet. There's no birth of that aver, and there's also not necessarily a reason to say that the little part outside should follow the roiv inside, because it's not going to be retracted. On the contrary, what's inside is going to come out. So therefore, the question could actually be according to both possible. In any case, that's Rava's question. So the Gemara says Toshma Yotze Rubai Harezi Yipot. Well, let's see. Our Mishnah had said once most of the baby comes out, then we said it comes out all at once, and you have to bury it because now at this point it has the kedusha of a bechor, and now that it's stillborn, then you can't eat it, and all you can do is throw it to the dog, and you can't throw it to the dogs because it has the kedusha of a bechor, and now therefore it's also about now and you have to bury it. So we have to ask, my Rubai, when the Mishnah says Rubai, what does it mean? Even with Rubai Mamash, you mean literally that the majority of it, that 50% plus of it came out. What's the Hiddish? Ad Hashtalay Ashman and the Rubai Kukulay. What have we never learned until now? That Rubai Kukulay, we learned already in our Masechet. That Rubai Kukulay as far as Shritah. There's many places in Shas. It's a commonplace known thing that Rubai Kukulay. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell us that point. Evidently, the Mishnah must be talking about that exactly half came out. But the roiv aver, part of that 50% is made up of the majority of one aver, which then is Rava's question whether we count also the minority, the smaller part of that aver that's inside, and add it to the total to bring it up to 50% plus, or whether we don't. And the answer would be that we do. The answer would be that Yotzer Ruboi means not literally that most of it has come out, but enough has come out that we can halachically consider as though most of it has come out. Namely, again, we have mathematically it is 50%, but once we add a smaller part of that aver that's still inside, then we're above 50%. And that one, they would be the answer. But the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about Yotzer Ruboi, the mere aver. In fact, you could say that the Mishnah is addressing rather the first possibility of Rava's question. Now, before we said that it seems obvious, of course not. The first possibility we had in Rava's question is, again, where the 51% is partially made up of the minority of the smaller part of one aver. And we said, obviously, that there's no reason that we should ignore the size of the aver, and that we should ignore the size of the animal as a whole and focus on the aver. But now, indeed, maybe that is what the Mishnah is talking about. Most of it is out, 51%. So Ruboi, like the Mishnah had said, but that Ruboi includes the smaller part of one acre. the Kamash Malan. And in fact, the Mishnah will be telling us just that. The Lord Shavkin and Ruba do over the Behemoth, Baslim and Vaseva, that we're not going to ignore the Ruiv of the animal as a whole and go disappoint this Aver. Instead, we're going to say that we consider the fact. The fact is we have 51% over here, and we don't care that part of that 51% is made up of a smaller part of one Aver. Meaning, in other words, even though the Gemara before had taken it as an obvious thing, we wouldn't do that. Nevertheless, now we can say that maybe, after all, that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Tosfos Rosh points out that that's often how it is. Sometimes the Gemara will start by assuming that something is so obvious that it doesn't need to be said, and I'll end up saying that actually, that nevertheless, that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So therefore, so there's really no proof from the Mishnah for Rabba's gift. So in other words, as usual, it comes out that it's a suffix, and therefore it would mean that it's a suffix, whether it has the kedusha of a bechor, and in the case of a suffix like that, we have to treat it with lechumrah. More questions about the birth of a bechor. Now, a birth involves that the baby comes out through the birth canal, and then its head is going to be touching all the sides of that as it comes out. But now we're going to have a variety of questions that the Gemara is going to ask where there's something in between, or where something else comes into the picture and complicates things. These are going to be some of these cases that I was mentioning before. We're going to have some very unusual and off the wall cases that the Gemara is going to discuss now. So Rava's first question is, on the side over here, it says another gear says Rabba. Anyway, what would happen if before this bechor is born, you wrapped it up in sieve? Sieve is a substance that grows around palm trees. You have under many trees, have under the bark, they have a softish layer that in the living tree transports nutrients throughout the tree. So here you have it's that kind of stuff. It's soft stuff. So it's like a cloth like stuff that you could use to wrap around something to warm it up or something. And in English, that material is called bast. Anyway, so suppose you wrap the baby up in sieve. And that sieve now is between the head of the animal and the walls of the rechem, the walls of the birth canal when it's born. So the point is, so now on the one hand it didn't touch the walls of the rechem, so maybe it didn't have the kedusha of a bechor. On the other hand, maybe not. Maybe the sieve is considered to be there for the purpose of the baby. You have a similar kind of thing. For example, the Gemara mentions in Sukkah, for example, let's say if you pick up the wool of an estrog by means of a cloth, are you yotza, or is it considered a chatzitza? So you have a concept. The Gemara mentions that kolana oisa in a chatzitz. When you're doing it in order to beautify the lulav, so let's say you're wrapping a nice cloth around the lulav to make it look nicer, then that wouldn't be considered a chatzitza. So now, in a similar vein over here, now you have some places, for example, another relevant case is the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, for example, that if you wrap matzo, mortar, and sieve, and eat them on Pesach night, then you're not yotze because the sieve is a chatzitza. So the Avnei Nezer explains that of course the sieve is a chatzitza, but maybe a chatzitza doesn't matter over here, and it still becomes a bechor. In the case of matzah and mori, you would say it's ein derech achila b'kach. That's not the normal way of eating. So it's not, in other words, a matter of chatzitza. It's just a matter of is it considered a normal way of eating. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he deals with various angles on this whole question, and he says, of course, chatzitza would be. The question is that here the sieve is kind of not oisa because you're doing it because the baby is cold. For example, it's a cold day, and you want to wrap the baby in the sieve to prevent it from getting cold as it comes out of the womb for the womb. So maybe it shouldn't be considered a chatzitza. In addition, there's also in general, we have a rule in halacha that says min b'mina in a chotzitz, that when we have two things of the same min, then one is not considered a chatzitza for the other. But obviously, if it's not the same min, then it is a chatzitza. So, but on the other hand, you could argue. Rabbi Natan points out another point as well is when if you wrap the baby in the sieve, the fact is the sieve is not coming out on its own. The baby, as it comes out, is pushing the sieve along with it. Maybe therefore it wouldn't be a chatzitza. So what would be the gain? So again, the different possibilities are, is a chatzitza significant when it comes to the birth of a baby? Or maybe a chatzitza is significant, but here it doesn't matter because the sieve is there for a purpose for the baby. Also, I want to ask the talisa model, what happens if instead of wrapping it in a sieve, he wraps it in his talus? Now, there are gusoys that don't have this, because what's the difference, sieve or talus? Among other things, Moshe in that tshuva explains that, look, on the other hand, you know, maybe the sieve, it would be considered a chatzitza, because how much does it already warm up the baby? But a talus, which maybe warms it up much more, maybe at least that shouldn't be considered a chatzitza, because that's really, because that really is for the sake of the baby. What about, Rabba continues, the shul yosei mahu, what happens if the baby is wrapped in its amniotic sac when it's born? The Gemara says, what kind of a question is that? The shul yosei urchil, that's a perfectly normal thing, that the baby is born inside the amniotic sac. That obviously, that can't be considered a chatzitza. So fine. The question is rather what it means is, what if you took the amniotic sac of a different animal and wrapped it around this one? Would we say that it's a chatzitza and therefore it doesn't have the pirush of a bechor? Or maybe over here, until now we were talking about sieve or a talus, which are not minor. They're not the same kind of thing as the animal. But here we're talking about the amniotic sac, which is the same min as the animal. Maybe it wouldn't be considered a chatzitza, even though in fact it came from a different one. How about another one? What happens if a woman is helping this animal give birth and she wraps the baby in her hands and pulls it out? She wrapped it, and she grabbed it with her hands, and she took it out. Mahu, what we did? Would that be considered a chatzitza? Or would that be considered a chatzitza? Her hands form a chatzitza? Or would we say that not, because that's a normal way of helping an animal give birth? Now, that's Rashi's explanation. However, Tosfos has a problem with that. We're going to talk about an Omer Beis, for example. We're going to talk about a case of an animal, of someone helping an animal give birth. We don't mention a woman over there. The women don't usually assist at animals giving birth. We talk about Haroya. We talk about a shepherd, because he's the one who normally would be assisting an animal birth. And a couple of other questions Tosfos has on the Lashon, the question of the Gemara. So rather, Tosfos prefers a Gusa from a Ben Chanano, which is the second word is not Achazatu, she grabbed it, but rather Achosa, his sister. A Vav and a Zion were very similar in many, many scripts, so the copyists could have confused one for the other. So the Gilsa would be Krachatu Achotza Vaitziatri. His sister wrapped around him and brought him out. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos explains, the scenario would be that this mother animal was pregnant with twins, a male and a female, and the female was wrapped around the male, and they came out of the womb together. One after the other. So now the question would be, is she considered a chatzitza around him or not? After all, female doesn't have the pidush of a bechor. So in fact, Tosfos says, in that case, not to mention achoisa, the same question could be as far as if it was two males, and the question is which one is considered the bechor. But we're mentioning the female in order to stress that, in other words, there's no matter of bechor at all. Elsewhere, in Bechoris, Tosfos points out another reason, a couple of other reasons why Dafka asked about a female animal, according to that Gersa of achoisa, is, for one thing, maybe a female is considered a different min than the male. Maybe because the male is kodesh with bechorah and the female is not, so there might be reason to consider them two separate min. Another point Tosfos says over there is because the female is helping to pull him out. In effect, as the Gemara is going to explain over here, that the head of the bechor is between the other one's legs, and therefore like she's helping pulling him out. So therefore, maybe it's not considered a chatzitza. So the Gemara asks, well, hey, Chidomi, yeah, but in that last case of Krachato v'achazatu v'achosei, mahu, you're asking, what's the din? Hey, Chidomi, well, what's the scenario? Even if the baby came out head first, and then one of these things, okay, well, at that point, then already it's considered born, as we've been talking about all this time, that when the head comes out, then already it's Kaddish, and vice versa. If you're going to say, if one's a Tosfos, that you're talking about two animals, a male and a female, and the female's head came first, of course, at that point, she's the Peterechem, so there's no Kedusha of the Bechor on the other one at all. So Ella did not from Derech Magdaloisav, so rather the scenario would have to be that the baby came out feet first, and now you stuck in and put the sieve or the cloth or the hands or whatever to help get it out. So now the question would be whether these things are considered a chatzitza or not. And according to Tosfos, the case would be, when it's according to Tosfos, that you're talking about a male and a female animal born together, is that the baby's head, the male comes out first, but feet first, and his head is between the legs of the female, which comes after him, and the question is whether her legs are considered a chatzitza between him and the birth canal. So those are all the questions that Rava has. Not all the questions. Now we have more questions. Now we have a really weird case. Bo'atu choda, what happens if a weasel swallowed up the baby while it was still in the womb, vo'tziatu, and then the weasel came out with the baby still inside it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, vo'tziatu? What do you mean? If it came out, ha'pikde, then it came out already. It came out without touching the rechem, and we already have those questions about if it's considered a chatzitza or not. By the way, as far as this matter of whether it's considered a chatzitza or not, an interesting question that comes up related to this is a baby nowadays. Sometimes you have a baby born with forceps. What about that? For example, would the forceps be considered a chatzitza and maybe then prevent the baby, a human baby, that is, from being a bechor? So there's discussion about that. And one point is that with the first of all, does any part of it touch the walls of the rechem? So in fact, the Abnezer and the Chelkas Yoyov argue that in fact a human baby was born with forceps might be potter from Pidyon HaBen. On the other hand, the Moshe goes on to say in that same Shuvah that no, by a person there's no matter of chatzitza in the first place. The whole discussion of a human Gemara is only as far as a bechor behema. After all, that has kedusha as a guf with a human b'chor. All it is you have to do pidyon haben, and it has to be peterech, and we don't care whether there's chatzitza or not. So in other words, according to the Moshe, whether the baby is born with forceps wouldn't make a difference as far as pidyon haben. In any case, getting back to the Gemara. So again, if this weasel crawled in there and could then crawled out with the baby inside it, well then that's exactly the same question as we had before when there's a chatzitza. Ella, no. The question would be b'atu. The weasel swallowed the unborn baby, v'hitziatu, and carried it out, but then the hichnisatu, then it carried it back in, still in its mouth, v'hitziatu, and then regurgitated it back into the womb, the yotzana elav, and now it came out as a birth. Mahu, what would be again? The first time it came out wasn't considered a birth, and so therefore now it's actually born, or maybe it was really peterechem the first time around. This is one of those cases where this and the next case that the Gemara is going to discuss, during Ashas refers over here to a Tosfos and service that says, is such a thing ever going to happen in the entire history of the world? Probably not, but this is one of those things, Jerush for Kabbal Sky. Still, this is a case where we have to doubt in it, and we receive the reward from Hashem for learning Torah, even if it's highly theoretical and could never possibly happen. Although, as we'll see in a second, at least one of these questions actually has a lot of application nowadays, la la. Anyway. So that's what it is. In other words, hypothetically there could be such a case, and therefore the Torah needs to deal with it, and this is part of the mitzvah of learning Torah. Next question of Rava or Rava. What happens if a person puts one next to the other two wombs of animals? So he has animal A is about to give birth. He puts it. He lines up animal B with it so that its womb, so that its birth canal is touching that of animal A. Now it exited animal A's womb where it had developed, and then it went into animal B's. Mahu, what would be the din? would be, it, the question would be basically whether animal B is now later on potter from Bechorah. Later on, animal B is going to have her own baby. Would that be considered now, would that baby of hers be considered a Bechorah, Peter Dachem, or not? Would we say Didei potter, the lab Didei loy potter? Would we say that a baby is potters the mother only if it's formed inside her own womb, and therefore animal B now is still going to be considered a mavakeres? She has not yet given birth to her own baby, and therefore the next baby she has, if it's a male, is going to have the kedusha of a bechor. Maybe even if it's a baby from someone else, from a different animal, then nevertheless it'll potter it. Because it can be considered peter recha. It can still be considered that something opened up its womb, namely an animal from another one. Now, this one actually you have when it comes to surrogate motherhood. This is one of the major, every posik that deals with it in Oregon in the last couple of generations starts with our Gemara over here. So this is one of those things. In Tosfos' time, this would have been an absolutely theoretical thing where the only possible reason we could be learning it was Drosh V'Kabel Schar, but it turns out to have real world implications with modern society and modern technology. So the Gemara says Teiku in all these cases. Teiku, we leave it unresolved and we leave it unresolved. So therefore, if any of these things were to happen, then it would be a suffix whether the baby is a Bechor and whether the next baby is a Bechor, etc. Okay. More questions. What would happen if the walls of the Beis HaRechem were wide open? In other words, normally, the birth canal is very narrow, or the baby squeezes through there to come out. What happens if the walls were wide open? And so the baby comes out not touching him. The question is, do we say that it's the airspace of the rechem that makes it kodesh as born, and you have that because it is within that airspace? Or do we say, or maybe it's the actual touching of the walls of the rechem that makes it kodesh, and here you don't have that. In other words, the other cases we were talking about as far as there's an actual chatzitza, there's sieve or a talus, etc. But over here, the question is, there's no actual substance separating them, but there's just empty space. One way of looking at it is that Rabbah knew that obviously that wouldn't be considered a chatzitza. He was talking about only actual substances. But Rav Acha now would be wondering whether maybe it's not even if there's actual substances, even if there's just empty space between them. If you were to say that that's considered a chatzitza, then of course all the more so that sieve and the other things would be considered a chatzitza. So that's another question. Also, Boi Ma'abra Rabashi, and Ma'abra Rabashi has yet another question. Nekru Tosfa Beis HaRechem Ma'u. What happens if the walls of the Beis HaRechem were to be uprooted from their place? Which makes it sound, in other words, it sounds like the animal's womb has been, or at least the cervix has been surgically removed or something. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, necro halasim? But what do you mean, if they were uprooted, if they were removed, then they're not there. There's no rechem, and to be mekadesh the baby. What Ramah Ravashi means is necro the total labet savor. What happens if that part, if the cervix or the vaginal canal or whatever got torn away from its place inside the body and it's hanging around the baby's neck as it's being born? Mai, what would be the din? The Makoyman Makadshi Shlodo Kaiman Loy Makadshi. Would we say that only when they're in their place, in their natural place of attachment to the body, then they're Makadish the baby as it passes through them, but not when they're not in their place? Or do Mashlodo Makoyman Nami Makadshi, or maybe even when they're out of their place, maybe even in this case, where they've been torn away and are hanging around its neck, nevertheless, that's enough to give it the Yoshova Bechor. Eventually, when we get to Masechta Nidah, Bez Hashem, we'll have similar things where we talk about over there. You have cases where a woman has a uterine prolapse or a vaginal prolapse or whatever, and you have different dinim that are relevant over there as far as the dinim of Fadas and Mishpacha. Here's another question. Boimin Rav Yumiyim and Rav Zeira. Rav Yumiyim asks Rav Zeira, Nigmumu Koisei Beis HaRechem Mahu. What would happen if the walls of the Beis HaRechem are nigmum? Nigmum literally means cut away. So Rashi explains that it means that some of the thickness on the inside has been cut away. So they have, you know, the vaginal walls have a thickness to them. So now you have one layer of them has been cut or scraped away, and now you just have the outer layer. Another possibility. Rashi says it means that on the inside they're damaged and cut away, but you still have the outer lip fit. So in other words, you have, you know, it's a tube after all. It's a tube, the vaginal walls that the animal passes through. So now let's say you have higher up, closer to the womb, that was cut away, but you still have the outer part of it that's attached where the baby actually exits. So that's another meaning of nigmum mukosa b'sarafim. So mahu, what would be the din? Is that little amount, the partial thickness that's left, or just that ring that's left at the end, is that enough to be Makadosh or not? Amalei, so Reb Zeira answers in, Konagas the boyu di boyulon. You should know, with this, you're touching on a question that we had, that Reb Zeira says, I and my chaverim have had previously, and once we have the answer to that, then we can deduce the answer to your question from it as well. Namely, the boy Reb Zeira. But I mean, the boy mina Reb Zeira mina bami. Reb Zeira had the question. Well, some say that Reb Zeira asked Reb Asi. So Reb Zeira himself had the question, is one version. Or the other version is that Reb Zeira asked this question to Reb Asi. Uymin meruba ala poros. So what happens with these vaginal walls? If there's more of them intact, then is breached through. We have this concept, it comes up in various areas of halacha. For example, in the halacha of Eruvin, you can have, let's say, an area that has a perimeter, let's say, of 100 square amos, and you have, for example, 50, the perimeter of it is, let's say, 100 amos, 25 on each side. So let's say you have 51 of those amos are fenced in, and the other 49 are open. That's called oymin meruba ala poros. So you have more fenced in than not. So here, Reb Zeira is asking a similar question. If you have, let's say, the circumference of the vaginal walls is, let's say, 10 inches, so now you have, let's say, so 4 inches of it has been cut away, but you have 6 inches of it still intact. The yotze derech poros, so now the baby came out by way of the breached part, by way of the part that was cut away. So would it be considered, would we say that it came out through the part of its way, therefore it's not Kurdish, because that part is not considered the Mecca, or the whole thing, or would we say Oymed Rurala Kurdish, and it's considered the whole thing is Oymed, the whole thing is still be considered intact. Or the other way around, Reb Zeira says, you can ask the other way as well, Kurdish and Rurala Oymed, what happens if the breached area is larger than the unbreached area, of Yotzeder Oymed, and it came out in contact with the Oymed, with the intact area, my, then what would be the question? So would we say? I mean, on the one hand, that oymid is only a minority. On the other hand, the fact is, it is oymid, and it's not bottled to the potters. Now, continues Reb Zeira. Ad kanla yiboylei ela potters meruba ala oymid. Now, the whole question was, you notice, is only when potters meruba ala oymid. There is, after all, an oymid, and it passes through there. So therefore, you can say that oymid is enough to be considered, is enough to give up the kedusha of the bechor, even though it's only a minority of the circumference. But you notice, Reb Zeira says, I didn't have a question about your case of nigmum, where part of the thickness was cut away, or part of the or the whole circumference was cut away, but you just have the wing left. There's no question. You have to have an intact base of Rechem in order for the animal to have the kedusha of the bechor. So therefore he tells Reb Zeira, therefore that answers your question. As long as you don't have some intact area along the whole length of it through which the baby can pass, then there's no question. In your scenario where none of it is intact, in a thickness or a whole part of it has been removed, and all you have is the last ring of it before it comes out, then there's no question the baby does not have the kedusha of the bechor. Again, a number of more realistic cases and a number of far less realistic cases, but all of them are part of Torah. And again, sometimes each one of them, the point is, in other words, if nothing else, we extract from an underlying principle of halakha. And sometimes, as in the example of the Shnei Rechomim, it turns out to have actual real world effects nowadays. Continuing on the days. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. This was only on Aleph yet. So let's see what we can do with Amadez. So the Mishnah says, here you have an animal's unborn baby died inside its womb. The shepherd stuck in his hand into the womb and touched that dead unborn baby. This is where Tosfos points out, I'm an Aleph, when you're talking about people assisting an animal's birth, it's usually going to be talking about a shepherd, not like Rashi's Girsan, I'm an Aleph, that we're talking about a woman, a midwife. Anyway, so now the shepherd touched this dead animal. Now we know a dead animal is metame, so does he become tame or not? Bain with behemoth tmeya, or bain with behemoth tahora tahor, whether it's a non-kosher animal or a kosher animal, either way the shepherd is kosher, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef really says, no, it depends. Bitmeya tome over tahora tahor. If the animal in question is a non-kosher species, then the shepherd is true of touching its dead body. And if not, if it was a tahor species, then even though it's also dead, tahor, then he would be tahor again, as the Gemara is going to explain the reasons behind that. Now there is a concept in halacha called tuma blua that we often have. We're going to discuss it later on. When you have something tome that's swallowed up, that's embedded in something else, that it's not metame. Now, one example of that would be a baby inside the womb. So now, if you say that Tuma Blua is not Matame, then there's no question of he was not Tome. So Rashi and Tosfos explain that we have later on an opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't hold of Tuma Blua in that kind of case. Therefore, the Gemara wants to, therefore the Mishnah is talking. Therefore, the Gemara is going to seek for a reason why the shepherd should be Tome, should be Tahar, even according to Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
Then Tosfos says that actually there's another point as well, that the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk that would tell us that he is Tomei, as Rabbi Yisraeli is going to darshin from. So then we have to figure out why the Tanakhama would disagree. In addition, the Baal HaMor talks about, you can also be talking about, let's say you're talking about, that even it's sticking out of the womb, it's not Tumah Blua, it's outside the womb, so therefore we're going to need to understand why the Tanakhama would say that the shepherd is still Tahor when he touches it. Okay. So the Gemara says, my time at the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama hold that the shepherd is Tahor no matter what? Again, we could say if it's a matter of Tumah Blua, well fine, maybe our mission doesn't hold that Tumah Blua would be a reason to exclude it, and then we have these different other answers that we show in Gil. Omer Achista Kavachoyma. So Achista says we can make a Kavachoyma. Im ho'ila tira ba'achila. If the shchita of the mother makes it that it's mutter to eat. Now you think of it, this baby is dead. It ought to be considered nevela. Nevertheless, as long as it's still in the womb, then you're allowed to eat it. That was this whole matter of Ben Pekur that we've been talking about all this time. So the shchita of the mother helps that even this dead baby is actually mutter to eat. Shouldn't it be equally effective to make it the tumor of nevela won't apply to it? In other words, it's tuffle, it's bottle to the mother. So the mother, the shepherd doesn't become tummy by touching the mother. The shepherd shouldn't become tummy by touching the baby either. In fact, actually, the Tiferes Yaakov is talking about, let's say you could even have a case where the shita is not matter the baby. For example, let's say the baby was born by way of the rechem, and it was dead, or the mother animal died at the end. So then you didn't end up shechting the mother, but nevertheless, the Kabbalah Chaimer would still tell us that as long as the mother was alive, then nevertheless, the shepherd's not going to be tamei by touching the baby inside the womb. Okay, the Gemara says Ashkuch Avera Tahora. Sure, that tells us that'll be the case by Behemoth Tahora, where you can talk about the shchita of the mother. Behemoth Tmeya Manolan, where we see the same concept should apply to a Behemoth Tmeya. And the answer is Omakro. In that case, when you have a pasuk, the pasuk says, if one of the animals that you're allowed to eat dies, then the pasuk says a person who touches his nevela is tamei. This is where we learn the concept of tumas nevela when it comes to kosher animals. So a dead cow or a dead whatever, a dead cow or a dead deer or whatever without proper shita is going to be metame. Now the pasuk has a double expression, v'chiyomus min abehema and asher hi lachem la'ochla. So we can dash in the chiyomus min abehema, that means zu behema tmeya. When it says if an animal dies, that would refer to a behema tmeya. when it continues, that you're able to eat, that means zubahema tahora. That would refer to a kosher animal. On both of them, the pasuk says that you're tummy when you touch the nevela. So therefore, now the point is, though, itkash behemet mea, the behemet tahora. Thereby, we have a hekesh between a non-kosher and a kosher species. Ma behemet tahora ubra tahora. Just like with a kosher species, the unborn baby inside the womb is tahora and is not matame the shepherd, based on, because of Rav Chisda's kavachomer. After behemet tahora ubra tahora, the same way with a non-kosher animal, also the unborn baby, even though Rav Chisda's kavachomer won't apply. Nevertheless, this hekesh tells us to apply the kavachomer there as well. Okay, so that explains the Tanakama's opinion. Next, Rav Yossi really my timer. So why does Rav Yossi really hold that there is a distinction between a kosher and non-kosher animal? And the answer is Amar Rav Yitzchak to Amar Kro, because they have a different pasuk. The pasuk says any creature that walks on its paws, meaning as we've talked about a number of times, kosher animals basically walk on tiptoe, but non-kosher animals like cats and dogs and bears and whatnot walk on their paws. So all of them are non-kosher animals. Any creature that walks on four. So therefore, we learn from that. And the pasuk is saying, we learn from that. Anytime you have a creature that also walks on its paws, that's inside the womb of a creature that also walks on its paws, then I'm telling you it's chopper. Therefore, he says. So a cat is having trouble giving birth, and the veterinarian sticks in his hand and touches the dead kitten inside. Then the Torah is telling you he's going to become tummy. So the one asks Elamei Ata. By that logic, you're telling me that it's only as far as Tapa, that Tapa of any creature that walks on its paws, Koluk the made part of the tummy. By the same logic, then we should consider that when you have a kolut, which we've talked about before, an animal that, a mutant of a kosher species that has unsplit hooves, then it should be considered that it's metame if it's dead inside its mother's womb, letame, it should be metame, to mahalcha kapayim b'chayu, because there you have a case, it's mahalcha kapayim, it goes on its paws, okay, it's, strictly speaking, it's not on its paws, but in other words, the point is, if we're going to use the word mahalcha kapayim to mean any creature that does not have properly split hooves, well, this creature doesn't have properly split hooves. We even had the opinion of Reb Shimon earlier in our Mishnah, that once it's born, it would be tshefa, and earlier in our Perek, that once it's born, it would be tshefa, fine, even if Allah is not like Reb Shimon, it's a pasuk telling us, any creature that goes on its paws, meaning that doesn't have split hooves, is metame. Then it should apply in this case as well, where the unborn baby is a mutant that has unsplit hooves. Now, Tosfos points out, at this point, the Gemara could have answered that that's what we use Rav Chisda's kavachomer for, but the Gemara is going to give a better reason. The answer is no. Mahalcha kapayim, b'mahalcha arba. When is the pasuk in the metame? When you have mahalcha kapayim, a creature that doesn't have properly split hooves, and it's in the womb of one that also doesn't have properly split hooves. Behind mahalcha abba, mahalcha shmoinahu. Here you have a baby that walks on four, meaning that's, let's say all four of its hooves are unsplit. So it walks on four, but it's in the womb of something that walks on eight, because the mother is a kosher animal. The mother is a cow, let's say, which has two split hooves on each foot, making a total of eight. So therefore, so in other words, the pasuk is implying that only when both mother and baby are both mahalach al arba, walk on four, meaning unsplit hooves, then it would have the tumah of nevela inside the womb, but not where the baby has four and the mother has eight. So they want to ask, okay, part of them egg gomel loytitame. Fine, by that logic though, the other way around, what if the baby is cow-like and has fully split hooves, but the mother is a camel that has unsplit hooves. So the other way around, this is the opposite of a colt. A colt is where the species has split hooves, and this particular one is formed without that, with unsplit hooves. Now you have the other way around. Let's say it's a species that normally has unsplit hooves, such as a camel, whose hooves are not fully split, but the baby has a genetic malformation and ends up being born or created in the womb with fully split hooves. So then, mahalcha shmoina, loy tatame, so it should not be matame, the mahalcha shmoina, mahalcha abo, because there you have, the baby has eight points of contact with the ground, and the mother has only four. And you're saying that it has to be four, that you're saying that's tame only when it's four and four.
So the answer is because the Torah could have said hoylich, the pasuk could have just said that it goes, and it says v'chol hoylich l'davas parah b'meg b'mol. So yes, it comes to include that case where the baby is like a parah and has fully split hooves, and the mother is a gomel and does not have split hooves. So in other words, by putting all these drushes together, we're going to say that the point is the mother mahalche abba or mahalche shmoyna. If the mother is mahalche abba, then it doesn't have fully split hooves, then it has 4 points of contact with the ground, then the baby inside it is going to be metame, according to the drusha that Rabbi Yitzchak is bringing forward of Yosi Aglivi. If the mother has 8 points of contact with the ground, then we don't care whether the baby also has eight or whether it's a mutant that has only four. Okay, the Gemara says, what about kolot mimei klota litame? What about if both mother and baby both have this mutation and have unsplit hooves? Let's say the mother cow, let's say, for example, this baby cow born with unsplit hooves grows up and eventually has babies of its own, and the baby is also born with the same mutation. So litame, then the unborn baby should be mitame. The mahalche abba, mahalche abba. Then you have both mother and baby walk on 4 points of contact with the ground. And yet the Mishnah said that always the tahor, even Rabbi Yisrael, he says the tahor da tahor. If it's a kosher species, then always the dead unborn baby in there is not metame. Now Tosfos points out that the Gemara could answer at this point that maybe Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon that once a kolot is born, it is in fact not kosher, but the Gemara wants to give an answer even if we say that the kolot is mutter, like the Chachamim, who the halacha is like. And also Tosfos points out that even Rabbi Shimon would allow it, actually, if the only mutation in it is that it's kolot, it otherwise fully resembles the mother. So that wouldn't be a valid answer of Adam. So the answer is well, that's where we bring in Rav Chista's Tavachoymer, that because the mother is able to be shefted, then therefore the baby is Tahor from Tumas Neveva. So in other words, we wouldn't have needed, according to Rav Yossi, we still are using Rav Chista's Tavachoymer, however, we're using it only in this limited case of where the mother and baby are both colored. For the other cases, Rav Yossi is going to use it, we're going to use Rav Yitzchak's Derasha, and say that if the mother has 4 points of contact with the ground, namely that its hooves are unsplit, then the baby is going to become, then the dead baby inside is the nimitame. Okay. However, Maskus, Rabbi Chadboi Ba'ami, questions that. You're telling me the key thing is how many points of contact it has with the ground. Well, then a dead unborn pig in the womb of a sow should not be matame. The mahalchishmoy, the mahalchishmoyna, who both of them have 8 points of contact with the ground. After all, pig has split hooves, and yet Rabbi Yossi is saying flat out in the Mishnah B'tmei Atomei, doesn't matter the species. So that derasha doesn't work. Rather, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, we're going to darshan it from a different drasha. Now, we're not completely rejecting Rav Yitzchok's drasha. But we're saying that we're not going to, the Torah Chaim explains that at this point, the Gemara is going to say, we're just saying that we're saying that instead of using the answers before, that kolot and all of that, instead the Gemara is saying we can darshan like Rav Nachman Yitzchok, but we can still use Rav Yitzchok's drasha as we're going to do later on. So mehocha, we learn it from as follows. The Torah tells us there are cases where a person becomes tomei and then goes into the Bes Mikdash, so eats kodshim, and then he's chayav a korban oda v'yoli. We learned about all the details about it in the Sefer Shavuos, a year or a year and a half back. So the pasuk says nefesh ki tiga b'chol dover tomei. The printed Gemara in front of us says nefesh ki tiga b'chol tomei. The actual lashon of the pasuk is nefesh asher tiga b'chol dover tomei. Anyway, the pasuk says a person touches anything that makes him tomei. Or he touches the carcass of a dead chaya, or he nivlas behema tmeya, or he touches the carcass of a non-kosher behema, or he nivlas sheretz tamei, or he touches the carcass of a sheretz that's tamei. Now, why is it mentioning behema tmeya? V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metama, b'tahoda lo metama, does only the carcass of a non-kosher species make a person tamei, and a tahor species does not? We know the Torah tells us in Parsha Shmini that any of them, if they weren't properly shechted, are metame. So why is the Torah saying over here, b'nivlas behemetz meah? Ela, ezezeh, so what is the case that we're talking about where there's a difference between tamei and tahor, ze uber, shibetzmeah, tamei over tahor to tahor. This would refer to an unborn animal where you have this distinction. If it's an unborn baby of a non-kosher species, then when it's dead in the womb, it will be metame, the person who touches it. And if it's Tahor, and if it's a Tahor species, then it'll be Tahor and the shepherd won't become Tomei. So now we don't need any of these answers like Klutta and all those kinds of things like that, because it's just, we're just saying, is it a Tomei species or a Tahor species? Okay. So the Gemara says, when Acha the Naskalim, the Rav Nachmanis. Well, once we have Rav Nachmanis, Obstirasha, from that, the fact that it says, Menilas Behemet Tmeya, then the Rav Yitzchak, then Rav Yitzchak Lomali, what do we need Rav Yitzchak about Kol Hoylach Alpak? And the answer is, Ilav the Rav Yitzchak, because the word for Rav Yitzchak Durasha, Havamina, you would have thought, Kulu the Levi Huchasa, Huda'asa. Maybe the entire Pasuk that Rav Nachmanis is bringing is actually teaching us a din that Rebbe says, which we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about why the Torah stresses Chaya and Behema and so forth separately. We'll learn that in the Gemara tomorrow. So therefore, we would use it for that Derasha, and we wouldn't use it for Rav Nachman Weitzchak's Derasha. Meaning, Rashi explains like this. Not always do we usually say, every word in the Torah is very precise and everything, but sometimes we'll have that the Torah will repeat something because of one particular detail that there's a Chiddush in it. So we could say, in other words, that maybe the Torah has to tell us a certain detail on that pasuk because of Rebbe's Durasha doesn't mean that the rest of the pasuk is available for a different Durasha. Kamash Malan, therefore, with Rebbe Yitzchak's Durasha of Kol HaLechav Kappa, we understand that there are certain cases where an unborn baby in the womb is going to be Metameh. The question would be, though, if we started talking about 4 versus 8 points of contact, then we'd have Rabbi Chabba Ra'am's problem with the unborn dead pig, and therefore we need also Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Stirata to say that this applies across the board to all the non-kosher species. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue talking about this matter of Behemah Tahora versus Chaya Tahora and unborn babies and all these cases of Tumah and Tara over there.